Hello, this Sunday I come to you from Vietnam. And although this podcast, this breakdown of the gospel for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time is not in the context of the Mass, this whole chapter has been so rich, I would like to talk to you more about it. Recall how chapter 6 began. Jesus performed the miracle, the multiplication of the loaves, and that becomes the context or the sign after which he is able to teach in the Bread of Life discourse. And the first thing he says as the multitude come to him is that you're coming to me because I've given you food or material things, but I have so much more to give you. And so it is true. We come first often to Jesus because we have needs for our physical lives. And we ask him to answer our prayers to help us. And he's happy to do that, but he wants to do so much more for us, to draw us deeper, to give us salvation, which only he can give. And he knows that that's what we're truly hungry for. And so Jesus says that I will give you the food of eternal life. Now for the Jews, they recognized bread as a metaphor or a symbol for the word of God. Recall Deuteronomy, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus is referred to and recognized by the people as a prophet. It is true that Jesus gives us the word of God and feeds us. This passage, of course, means so much more, but let's talk a little bit first about that. Do you eat the word of God? That is part of what Jesus is saying. It's just like we eat food, we chew on it, and we digest it. So too, we must chew on the words of God in Scripture, especially the Gospels, which come from Jesus, and meditate and digest, sit with, allow them to speak to us and to feed us. How often do we break open Scripture, especially the Gospels, and pray with them? An essential path to coming to Jesus and to have a deep, life-giving relationship with him is through the Scriptures and the Gospels. So let us not neglect the invitation to eat the bread that comes down from heaven, which its first interpretation in chapter 6 is the Word of God. But Jesus means so much more because he then goes on to say, I am the bread of life. Right? Before Jesus, we had prophets, others who gave us the word of God. Jesus is a prophet, but much more. In John chapter 1, we hear that the word became flesh. Jesus truly is the word of God. Jesus is God become human. Jesus is talking about the incarnation, which is an essential part of God's saving plan. It is not then by the words that Jesus gives us that we are saved. It is by God's entering into our humanity and touching us that saves us. Recall the image by Michelangelo where God reaches down with his finger and touches humanity. Recall the gospel scene where Jesus touches the leper. The leper comes to him who is unclean, asking for healing. And Jesus reaches out. Jesus, who is clean, touches the leper. And it is not the leper who makes Jesus unclean, which is the way it was with the Jewish religion. Rather, it's Jesus in his infinite cleanness, his infinite goodness, God in our humanity, that cleanses our sinful humanity. And so that leper represents us. And by God's touch, we are made clean. Then this chapter 6 goes on. How is it that Jesus then says, the flesh that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world? He is now switched from bread to flesh. And flesh really represents the sacrifice of an animal. And so Jesus says, not only is he the bread come down from heaven, he's the flesh that will be given for the life of the world. He's referring to his passion, his sacrifice on the cross, his death. And the death of the incarnation of God in Jesus completes, if you will, God's giving of God's self to us fully and completely, even until death. Death because of our sins and for our sins. And then in the resurrection, Jesus wins the victory over death, the penalty of sin, and gives life and comes to life, divine life. And that divine life of his resurrection, he wants to share with us. And so then the next part of the chapter 6 talks about how Jesus really communicates that risen life, that victory over death, that through his incarnation and sacrifice and resurrection, he has won for us. Jesus, in this week's gospel, says that you must eat the flesh and drink the blood to have life in you. This is undoubtedly, undeniably referring to the Eucharist. Until now, we haven't heard anything about blood, but yet now we hear flesh and blood. And it is by the very sacrament of the Eucharist that Jesus instituted the night before his passion, and really the same day of his passion, because the Jewish days begin at night, that we receive the benefits of his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection. And it is in the Eucharist that the touch of God then is perpetuated through all time and space. How else would we receive the benefits of his incarnation, death, and resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago, unless he had the foresight to institute the Eucharist, the memorial of his passion and death and resurrection? And just as the Jews in the time of Jesus would have a sacrifice offered by a priest, and then the people would eat of the sacrifice in order to receive its benefits, so too Jesus is the Paschal sacrifice. He is the Passover lamb that he has instituted at the Last Supper, which was a Passover celebration. And he instructs us then to receive the benefits of that sacrifice by eating the flesh and drinking the blood. Previously, the Jews were forbidden to drink the blood of the sacrifice. Before the sacrifice, the blood was collected in bowls and poured out at the altar of God, because life was contained in the blood, and the life is the property of God. But now, for the first time in Jesus' sacrifice, the blood, the very life of God, eternal life, is being offered to us to receive and to eat and to live forever, to be saved, to receive the benefits of his life, incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection. And so we see then that Jesus further commands, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. The Gospel of John has this theme several times, the indwelling of God in us. John chapter 14 says that the Father and I, Jesus is speaking, will come to the person who believes and make our home with them. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me. This passage here is the same idea, that we are literally connected to the body of Christ, who is risen, who lives eternally. And it is by our death in union with his death that we receive his resurrection by uniting ourselves to him. And so we then become the church, the mystical body of Christ, the sacrament of God, still present. Now, throughout all this teaching by Jesus in chapter 6, this sacramental theology, you hear the theme of the Passover. The miracle itself that began this discourse happened on a Passover. Jesus likens the bread that he is giving to manna that Moses gave. And the people recognize Jesus as the prophet who was the one who would be a new Moses. Jesus is giving himself in the new and eternal Passover, the new covenant. And the new Passover, the meal or the sacrifice of the new covenant, is the Eucharist, the one sacrifice of Jesus that is now spread through all time and history. It's transhistorical, in which we participate. And this is not just another Passover like the second Passover, but rather this is the Passover, the saving event that God planned from all time, and that Moses and the manna was only a type that foreshadowed the Passover, the new and everlasting Passover yet to come. Finally, all this theology, do we really understand it? Do you really believe everything Father Paul is saying? Do you believe that this is the correct interpretation of chapter 6? One of the themes I've yet to touch on addresses this. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draw him." He's already spoken these words, and next week, when the disciples say, "This teaching is hard," and some walk away, he's going to repeat this. And he says, "My words are spirit and life." And Jesus has already quoted the prophet Jeremiah and others prophesizing that in the new covenant, God would give us his very spirit in our hearts and reveal himself to us and be our teacher. And so how do we talk to others about the truth and the beauty of John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse, the importance of the sacrament of the Eucharist and the church? The answer is we must first lovingly and with some competence explain it to others, like I have so far in this talk. But then we must take their hands and pray with them. For our touch is the touch of Christ. Any Christian is a member of the body of Christ. And invite them to open their hearts to the proclamation that you have shared with them. Invite them to, in faith, open their hearts to God's Holy Spirit and to Jesus, so that God himself may reveal the truth of this teaching to them. And so that is how we evangelize. It is by our proclamation, our witness, and our praying with others that the Father draws them to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in our ministry. May God bless you.